From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. There is, in the federal government, an influential group that guides nationwide vaccine policy. It's called the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, ACIP for short, and it's currently in the process of evaluating what it calls the cumulative effect of the schedule of childhood vaccines. The new chairman of this group is Martin Kulldroff, a biostatistician and former professor at the Harvard Medical School. And at last month's meeting, he said this.
The number of vaccines that our children and adolescents receive today exceed what children in most other developed nations receive, and what most of us in this room receive when we were children.
Here's the thing. Kulldroff is a former Harvard professor because he was dismissed from the university. That's after he refused to take a COVID vaccine. And his appointment is part of the broader reshaping of American government policy under the leadership of Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. A longtime anti-vaccine activist, RFK Jr. has removed all the previous members of the ACIP and replaced them with a panel that includes multiple anti-vaccine voices. The new review process runs contrary to long-standing medical consensus about children's vaccines. But these changes could have major implications on what vaccines are available to the public, where they're available, and whether insurance covers them. Meanwhile, several public health groups sued the U.S. government on Monday in the wake of an announcement that it would stop recommending COVID-19 vaccines for healthy children and pregnant women. For the first part of today's show, we're going to talk about what's happening, what we know about the effects of vaccines, and what these changes might mean here in Illinois. Joining me now is Dr. Vidya Sundaresan, Professor in Chief of Infectious Diseases at the Southern Illinois University School of Medicine in Springfield. Dr. Sundaresan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Also with us, Dr. Jennifer Suh with the Illinois Department of Public Health as a pediatric medicine medical advisor there. She also served previously as chief medical officer for the Chicago Department of Public Health. Dr. Suh, welcome to you as well.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, Dr. Tina Tan is an attending physician in infectious diseases at Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago. She's also a professor of pediatrics at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine and is president of the Infectious Diseases Society of America. Dr. Tan, thank you for being with us as well.
No, thank you so much.
Listeners, you can join us throughout this conversation and this part of the program today at 800-222-9455. What do you think of RFK Jr.'s push against vaccines? How do you feel about his vaccine panel moving to reevaluate the childhood vaccine schedule? And are you worried about vaccines or being able to get vaccinated in the future? 800-222-9455. Dr. Suh, I'm going to begin with you. The vaccine schedule for children, it includes a pretty wide variety of immunizations, hepatitis B at birth, polio at 2 months, chickenpox at 12 to 15 months. Why does it matter what vaccines a child gets and when?
Right. I think the important thing to keep in mind is historically the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices would actually be looking at data on the rates of diseases that impact, right, hospitalizations, deaths, missing school, spread within communities, and they'd look at vaccines that were available, and they would look at how effective they are. They also, in terms of the schedule, anytime a new vaccine is considered, they were also looking at, would these potentially interact with another vaccine that we're giving at the same time? So very important work that the ACIP has been doing and should be doing. Children have exposures to many different things in their school settings, if they're in daycares. And so we want to protect them from many of these infections. Children are affected more severely than adults. And we know, you know, there were deaths caused by meningitis from Haemophilus influenza B. That's one of the vaccines that a baby gets, right? Measles. There were hundreds of thousands of cases, many deaths. And then we got the measles vaccine. And those cases drastically went down. Unfortunately, we're seeing a rise in measles in this country and in our state because of the decline in vaccination across the nation. But again, very important things that experts that have been reviewing, again, for decades. The American Academy of Pediatrics has been reviewing the immunization for decades. These are the experts in child health. So it's a really important schedule. It's really important to have clear guidelines on what the schedule should be for parents and guardians so that they know when they should be getting their children protected. And the guidance is important, whether it's from the federal government or from state health departments like mine, because clinicians out there who are working and seeing families on a daily basis and individuals, they also need to know what is the science, what are the recommendations so they can ensure that they are protecting the patients in the best way that they can.
Dr. Tan, let me bring you into the conversation. Now, we got a message from a listener in our texting group, which incidentally people can join by sending the word talk to 217-803-0730. Yvonne in Bloomington said, "I am not impressed that a man who has no medical training is in charge of these things in our country. As someone who nearly didn't survive infancy because I hadn't been vaccinated for pertussis, I'm even less impressed that children over 7 decades later will be having the same risk." Can you speak broadly about that idea? Because I think maybe people don't or have forgotten or don't really fully grasp what a difference these medicines have made.
Well, thank you. So, vaccines are one of the greatest public health achievements and really have significantly impacted the amount of disease, the complications, and the deaths that we see from these diseases. And I really understand the listener from Bloomington because, as Dr. Seale said, ACIP really use very strong scientific evaluation of the data that was available on these vaccines to put out very sound recommendations. So we all these vaccine preventable diseases still circulate around the world. Here in the United States, we have been extraordinarily fortunate to have access to a lot of different vaccines that protect against vaccine preventable diseases. And the major issue, as we're seeing now with the decline in vaccination rates, is we're starting to see outbreaks of vaccine preventable diseases, not just measles, but we also saw pertussis outbreaks and continue to see pertussis outbreaks. So it is incredibly important that we continue to vaccinate our infants, children, adolescents, and adults against these vaccine preventable diseases in order to protect them and prevent the spread of the diseases.
Dr. Sundaresan, let me bring you into the conversation now. What do you tell people who come in and say, "You know what? I'm skeptical. I've read online. I've heard our new health secretary talk about these vaccines. I don't know if this is a good idea." What do you say to people when they come in and say that?
I think that's really the importance of having a strong agency making good guidance. ACIP is a gold standard, not only nationally, but internationally. We set standards as to how the data is looked at meticulously, multiple months or years in advance, before a vote is taken or a recommendation is made. These are scrutinized again and again for side effects and any kind of safety information that comes up. The sources for any of the safety information that ACIP uses is varied. So there are lots of sources. They look as extensively as possible to make recommendations for efficacy, for the safety, and trends, how the disease is trending. So all this is looked at. So when someone does express skepticism or any kind of concern, I think it always is important to talk to people about the importance of good data. And having varied sources now is just going to add to the public health emergency of misinformation and disinformation as well. So I think it's really important when we get a chance, even when we are having people come through our clinic at multiple venues, right from when they're in the waiting rooms to when they're being roomed, when they're seen by a learner or a resident, and then they have their appointments. We do talk about the importance of data and good data, so that should be really available to people.
Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are talking about changes in vaccination policy under U.S. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., from replacing members of a vaccine advisory group with anti-vaccine voices to making the decision to stop recommending the COVID-19 vaccine for healthy pregnant women and children. And actually, this week, several health groups took the U.S. government to court over that. We're talking about what all this means for public health here in Illinois. Some of you shared your thoughts. Laura in Peoria Heights in our texting group said, "I believe what's behind RFK Jr.'s policies and decisions is an attempt to legitimize his insane views. Even though he says people shouldn't take medical advice from him, he desperately seeks everyone's acceptance and loyalty. His policies will hurt and kill people." We also heard from Danny in DeKalb, who said she was glad to have gotten multiple vaccines in the third trimester of each of her pregnancies, and added, "Our HHS secretary has the same credentials of any of the thousands of wellness influencers on Instagram who want to make a quick buck by planting fear and misinformation into the minds of anyone who will listen. I fear it may lead to the demise of a number of vulnerable pregnant women and their children." Laura, Danny, thank you both for writing in. We're talking about this with Dr. Tina Tan, president of the Infectious Diseases Society of America and a physician in Chicago. Also, Dr. Vidya Sundaresan, chief of infectious diseases at the Southern Illinois University School of Medicine, and Dr. Jennifer Suh, pediatric medicine medical advisor at the Illinois Department of Public Health. You can join us today at 800-222-9455. And let's go now to the phone. Susan is calling from Elgin on line one. Susan, thank you for calling in.
Hey, I was going to tell you about an experience I had with my doctor of 25 years. Back in May, I went for RSV and COVID vaccines, and I was told that I could not have the RSV because he just doesn't do that. And then he told me that he wasn't going to give me the COVID because he believes it's actually harmful. And I couldn't have been more stunned. This man's been my doctor for 25 years. But and then he left the room, and the nurse told me that he, you know, he didn't want to really talk about it because he doesn't like to be political. And I thought, what could be more political than not giving a vaccine? And I just can't even believe that this was my doctor that did this. Now I'm looking for a new doctor. But I was wondering, I did contact the ethics hotline at Advocate Aurora and left a message there, you know, left my information there, as well as talking to the facility who says that, you know, that's not their policy of Advocate Aurora. But is what can be done about doctors? I mean, other than just to go to Walgreens and get your vaccine on your own. I mean, that was, again, stunning. So that's my question. Is there anything that can be done about this?
Susan, wow. Thank you so much for sharing that experience. What a story. I appreciate you calling in. Dr. Suh, can I come to you about that? What do you think of that?
Well, I will say that actually runs counter to what all of our healthcare professional societies and public health believe and are recommending. Again, I think this is where it's really important that we have very clear guidelines, consensus that are based on sound data, scientific evidence in terms of what the vaccine recommendation should be. But we know, again, you know, groups like the American Academy of Pediatrics, American College of Physicians, they are the Professional Society for Internal Medicine Physicians, ACOG, the OBGYN Physician Society, the American Academy of Family Physicians, they have all come together to jointly say that vaccines are important and to also respond to these changes at the federal level. So I will say that the Illinois Department of Public Health, we've been maintaining close communication with our healthcare partners. We issue health alerts and other communications to make sure that they're staying up to breath on what the recommendations are and what our own state recommendations are based on, again, data that we have regarding disease counts and spread within our own states. So I will say again, public health, the professional societies for various healthcare groups, we all believe vaccines are important. We have the data. That's why we have the data that they work. And so we'll continue to work on ensuring that there is clear communication, clear guidelines going out to not only our communities, but also our healthcare partners.
We need to take a break in just a minute, but can you just talk about briefly if ACIP is changing its recommendations, will Illinois diverge from them? And how unusual is that?
All right. So We always review what's coming out from the federal government, from other professional societies. We review the data that the recommendations are based on, and we also look at our own data here. So we have already been in close communication, as we already are, with our pediatric experts, infectious disease experts around the state, professional organizations, local health departments. We've been in communication reviewing data to see what is and should be the recommendation for Illinois residents. So we will always review the science. We will always review the data. We will issue guidance that we believe is in the best interest of Illinois residents based on that data. The challenging part
Sure. I'm
is
sorry, I'm gonna
that.
have to interrupt you there because we need to take a break, but we will continue this conversation when we return. My apologies. You're listening to The 21st Show. Please stay with us.
Support for The 21st Show comes from listeners like you and the Des Moines Arts Center, presenting Firlet Baez, featuring colorful, large-scale works engaging history and legacy. On view through September 21st. Details at DesMoinesArtsCenter.org.
It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just joining us, we're talking about changes in vaccine policy under U.S. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Members of a noted vaccine advisory group have been replaced with anti-vaccine voices. And that group has stopped recommending the COVID-19 vaccine for healthy pregnant women and for children. And this week, there are groups that are suing the government over that. We're talking about all this with Dr. Vidya Sundaresan, Chief of Infectious Diseases at the Southern Illinois University School of Medicine in Springfield, Dr. Tina Tan, President of the Infectious Diseases Society of America and a physician at Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago, and Dr. Jennifer Suh, Pediatric Medicine Medical Advisor at the Illinois Department of Public Health. You can join us today at 800-222-9455. And let's go now to Richard, calling from Rockford on line two. Richard, I understand you are a retired physician. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, I am. I'm 93 years old. And the reason I called is I was in training in the early 1950s. At Cook County Hospital, and at that time, we saw everything. And believe me, these diseases do exist. And we saw the complications of these young children. We saw deaths. I had friends, personal friends, who were sick one day and the next day had polio and never walked again. And I had a, excuse me, had a fellow physician at Cook County, who also caught polio and never walked again. I think part of the problem is people have never seen these things because vaccines have eliminated them, and they're in denial and coming up with these crazy theories. And I think Kennedy is a real danger to our public health, and I would like to see him removed from that position. And those are my comments.
Thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate that. You know, on this point, I think Malcolm from Champaign wanted to make a similar point. Briefly, Malcolm, if you can, you were calling in about polio as well.
Yes, I have nothing more to say. I think the physician that just spoke really echoes my viewpoint. And the only other thing I want to say is that I think, at least in my practice, patients generally trusted me, and I think as physicians, we're going to need just to kind of carry on with the message. But thank the panel for being there, too. Excellent. And thank the 21st.
All right. Thank you very much, Malcolm. We appreciate that. Dr. Tan, I know you need to leave in a few minutes for another appointment you have, but briefly, if you want to respond to what the callers have been saying, or take it where you will.
No, I think that the callers are hitting the nail directly on the head. All these diseases still exist, and vaccines that we have are the best way to protect individuals from getting these diseases. And with all the misinformation and disinformation that is being released to the public and on social media, it really is adding confusion as to the importance of vaccines. And as been stated before, it is extraordinarily important that providers and the public have scientifically sound information in order to make the decision to vaccinate themselves and their patients. And that is why the current ACIP members and secondary Kennedys, the information coming out should not be believed and followed. And the more sound information that is available and that will be released by different organizations should be what practitioners and the public rely on in order to get their vaccines.
Dr. Tan, thank you so much for being with us today. I know you need to leave. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
We're going to continue with Dr. Vidya Sundaresan from the SIU School of Medicine and Dr. Jennifer Suh with the Illinois Department of Public Health. Let me ask about this idea that, I mean, there are people who I think are, you know, probably well-meaning, who, you know, maybe they, what they've read online, they have read things that, you know, raise questions in their mind. I don't think probably most people are out there looking to actively harm children or vulnerable populations. And Dr. Suh, I wonder how you reckon with that as a, you know, as a public health communicator.
Right. I mean, with the beauty of the internet and social media is that there is an ability to get out information and thoughts very quickly. The challenge is, as Dr. Tan also alluded to, making sure that the information is accurate. And so what we're really trying to do, again, with community partners, healthcare partners around the state, is to make sure that that accurate information is getting out, that we are also a strong voice with this sound scientific data that Dr. Tan was talking about, with the information that communities need. But I think it is also important, we want to hear people's concerns. We want to hear their questions about vaccines or other aspects of their health so that we can address them with the information that we know.
And Dr. Sundaresan, maybe we can talk a little bit about that idea of how many immunizations children now get, because this is one of the things that Martin Kulldorff, who's now the chair of the ACIP, and there was that soundbite I played earlier, I'll just read a quote from him now. The number of vaccines that our children and adolescents receive today exceed what children in most other developed nations receive and what most of us in this room received when we were children, end quote. How do you respond to that?
These vaccine schedules have been in place for years, and they are vetted every year. Every year, ACIP looks at the vaccine schedules and has to approve it. So we're following something that's updated and something that's absolutely necessary. And as has been said by Dr. Tan and Dr. Sir, these are all vaccine-preventable illnesses. And like the physicians who also made comments that they're we don't see these diseases because of the vaccines. Haemophilus influenza B, meningitis, so polio, we don't see that here. In fact, even when measles first started to appear, people did not recognize that as measles because they have never seen it. So that's really the power of vaccines and how they can actually change epidemiology of diseases and really keep people healthy. And as far as the number of vaccines go, internationally as well as nationally, these have been followed for many years, and we're seeing the results. These vaccine-preventable diseases are many of them are eliminated.
I think we can fit in one more caller. Sarah is calling from Springfield on line one. Sarah, thank you for calling in.
Thank you for having me. I'm a retired social worker who spent most of my career working with seniors, and what I found was twofold. One of them was that I was meeting physicians who did not realize that they needed to screen the seniors for post-polio syndrome or malaria. And yet when I was talking to them, they'd served in the Pacific Theater in World War II, and somebody in their family or they had had a, quote, light case of polio, and it was showing up again. They didn't even know what it was. I am a survivor of whooping cough. Many children did not survive. I'm a survivor of the early quarantines on polio as a child, when my mother wouldn't let us out of the house and put a fence around the backyard with no gate so that we couldn't play with our friends. I later learned that one of my playmates wasn't around anymore. My mother said they had moved, except I saw the playmate's mother driving back and forth on the street. And I said, well, if they've moved, what's she doing there? So I'm not a shrinking violet. Mm-hmm. I decided on my own to go up and attempt to visit her at home. Her mother let me in the door, and there she was in an iron lung. That experience was so horrible to me that I buried it in my psyche, and it only came back in full flower when we were in lockdown for COVID. And the first thing that came back was a sound at night, of the sound of the machine, of the iron lung, breathing for Olivia.
Wow. Sarah, what a compelling story. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that. Dr. Suh, I think we'll end on this point. One of the things that concerns me most is I've seen stories now of families that have gotten measles and other vaccine-preventable diseases. And even so, they're still not convinced that, and these are isolated stories maybe. You hope that, you know, touching a hot stove will teach people a lesson perhaps. But how do you counter when there is just so much information out there that is wrong and leading people into our dangerous past?
Right. Again, I think it's all about continuing to have that strong voice, a clear message. I think it's been really great to see that public health, healthcare, so many different groups have been coming together with the same message that vaccines are important. The vaccines that are out there are safe. There's lots of data around safety and efficacy, and we just need to keep having the conversations. Everyone comes to the table with their own life experiences. And so we want to meet people where they are. And so we're going to do everything we can to go out into communities, to work with our partners, to talk to people, to make sure people are reminded of why we have vaccines and the importance of getting vaccinated.
Dr. Jennifer Suh is with the Illinois Department of Public Health, Dr. Vidya Sundaration with the SIU School of Medicine. Thanks also to Dr. Tina Tan, president of the Infectious Diseases Society of America. Thank you all so much for being with us today here on the 21st Show.
Thank you.